WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in. Third and final hour of the program here on Monday morning. And that means we are going to be joined now by New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Oh, wonderful. How are you?
Doing all right. So my first question, it's August 4th. Lizzie Borden, did she do it?
I think she did.
Okay. We'll just leave it at that. There's no need to dive in any deeper. But I people always ask me that question, and I always tell them, like, my job isn't to figure out the murder. My job is to just document the ghosts over there. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a legal mind at all. So we had a great weekend, the Feast of the Blessed Sacrament. Saw you in the parade yesterday.
Yes, yes. It was a beautiful parade. I felt there were more attendance than I've ever seen in the past years, even especially by the library. A lot of families. I think the weather helped play a big part of that. Mm-hmm. It wasn't too hot. It was, you know, very sunny out, but not as humid as it has usually been, especially as someone who sweats a lot. The heat can be a lot.
But I hate the heat.
This year, I would even say for our opening ceremonies, it was, you know, a bit of an overcast, kind of cloudy, but I enjoyed it because it was a nice breeze and it was still nice out. So we really got to enjoy the weekend. The weather, as always, holds out. And it was just, again, a very beautiful cultural celebration. But I think a lot of times people forget the full name is the Feast of the Blessed Sacrament. Mm-hmm. So it's really a religious feast as well. So it just, you know, all of the aspects of the entire 4-day-long weekend. Also the fun parts, as you know, the music and drinks and food and all that other aspect of it all play into it as well. But it's one of the biggest highlights of the year that I always look forward to. And then I slowly recover from over the weekend. This morning definitely was a struggle.
We're definitely feeling it today.
Yes.
So Barry has an article up today at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app where he looks at the fact that Maura Healey didn't attend this year. She mm-hmm. wasn't there for the Thursday ceremony. She wasn't part of the parade. Do you think that, you know, the governor has almost a responsibility or a obligation to be here for any part of the feast?
Well, I do believe that our state officials should be here all the time because I, you know, I guess a bit of bias for myself. I think New Bedford is an amazing city. I think it's important for the region, not just, you know, during the feast time, obviously, but to this specific question, yes, I think it would have been great to have Governor Healey here, but I think her representation was well with Lieutenant Governor Driscoll. I'm always excited to see Kim Driscoll here. She has come often, and we're always glad to receive her here in New Bedford.
So the last time that Maura Healey was here was when she was campaigning and she went to the feast. If she comes in next year because she'll be campaigning, does that kind of ring a little hollow to only show up when it's a campaign year?
Well, that's just speaking about the feast. She's been here in New Bedford for other events, so that wasn't the last time Governor Healey was in New Bedford.
I'm sorry. The last time she attended the feast. My fault.
Oh, okay.
I put it. That's my fault.
Just because we're on conservative yes. station, I just want to clarify that she
was on a conservative station. We just have conservative hosts.
Okay. Sorry. Okay. Yes. Well, yeah. Okay, great. But yeah, I just wanted to clarify, you know, obviously Governor Healey knows about New Bedford. She does frequent here when she can. Obviously, it is a disappointment for many, because that is something I did hear. Why isn't the governor here? Or some people assume that she was going to be there, especially as we know in the past, other governors have attended. And I do believe that maybe she will come next year, but I don't necessarily believe it will only be because it's an election year. Who knows? I'm not sure what her scheduling situation was that caused her not to be able to attend this year. I I'm not sure.
And maybe some governors came every year, like Charlie Baker, not because they felt there was an obligation, but because they just liked it.
Yeah.
They just like coming here and drinking the Madeira wine and having fun.
The other thing I'll note, too, is I think next year is an anniversary year. It's the 110th mm-hmm. Feast. So I would imagine that even more state officials probably will come. Just for that fact alone, a lot of times for anniversary celebrations, there tends to be more fanfare, even not only just our state officials, but sometimes they people from Portugal or even Madeira, they will come to celebrate in those particular feast years because it's going to be even bigger to celebrate those milestones.
So feast appearance aside, do you feel like the city has a good working relationship with the governor?
I would say so, yes. You know, and again, I'm sure there'll be people who play into the idea of like Democrats and Republicans and things like that. But obviously, as we know, we had Governor Baker and Lieutenant Governor Karen Polito previously that were obviously Republicans. I just feel as though, as we know, New Bedford is very important to this region. And so that's one of the benefits, I would say, of being, even though we're a small city, we're not Boston, but we're a big enough city that we play a huge role in the South Coast. And so because of that, Boston can't ignore us. And therefore, the State House and the governor, whoever the governor may be, is often paying attention to New Bedford and what we do. And I think oftentimes that it's one of the talking points that I bring up as a city councilor, when people often point to the fact that, you know, as a city councilor, you know, you can't do this or you can't do that. And I often remark, yes, you're right. Legislatively, we're limited in our legislative authority, but what we lack in legislative authority, we make up in influence. And being able to speak with the governor or lieutenant governor or our state officials, our state delegation, or even our federal delegation. So those are the kind of things I think about. Again, beyond the feast day, are those state partners looking at New Bedford, all year round, because they know that we are a player in the game, so to speak, when it comes to how this state is run and the success of our state.
Well, you mentioned the federal government side of things, and Mayor Mitchell put out a statement last week about the possible closure of the Customs House. Mm-hmm. And we know he's already been pushing back on the Hastings Keefe possible closure. Mm-hmm. Just your thoughts on the need for a federal presence in New Bedford.
Yeah, you know, I agree with the mayor on both instances of each building. And especially what's disappointing, and I share his frustration on the fact that we weren't notified of the hearings regarding the proposed closure. I'm sure you can make the argument that they're always on the chopping block, but still, it's especially when you have, again, all the points I just made about a city like New Bedford and the importance of New Bedford to the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. It's disappointing that you don't reach out to the mayor of the city. So I share in his frustration that they did not reach out to give not only the mayor, but even the city council, the opportunity to either give testimony, to whether to appear or to submit written testimony.
If you want to have a public hearing, then why not have the people who are most impacted by it?
Yeah, and it almost makes it seem as though they've already made a decision.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think adds to people's distrust in government, where it feels as though all of the decisions have been predetermined. To answer the broader question, I do believe it's important to have that presence here in New Bedford, not only because we don't want these buildings vacant, we want to make sure they're maintained and what have you, and we know how for a particular neighborhood or community or area can deteriorate over time if buildings are left vacant. But beyond that, the services that are provided, the Social Security office, the access that people in our community rely on at those facilities, that will be taken away. Where will they go? How far away will they have to drive now? Especially, we know, in a city like New Bedford, where, again, the poverty rate is hovering around 19% or higher, we know transportation becomes an issue. Even though, yes, we know we're making strides when it comes to public transportation, but when you're talking about an 80 or 90-year-old retired individual that's going to have to try to navigate our public transportation system to go talk to someone at a federal building about their Social Security check, this becomes a huge concern.
Yeah, and part of it, too, is they're not, the state isn't that great about, I'm sorry, the federal government isn't that great about spreading this stuff around either. Mm-hmm. So, like, they won't do it regionally. They'll just send everybody to Boston. Mm-hmm. And all that does is cause, so now when you go to Boston to handle something, it's a 5 or 6 hour wait to get seen, as opposed to here. Not only is it closer, but also they can get to your problem faster.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm in support of that staying open. But again, you know, maybe they need to change some things around and how they operate, but they should definitely keep that federal presence here. Maybe they don't need to run two buildings, but they need to keep that federal presence here. I know another story that you were following last week was the situation with Market Basket. Mm-hmm. And I saw some reporting from New Bedford Light where it turns out there's some of those 47 people who were suspended actually turned out to be unaccompanied minors.
Oh, I think I saw that on South Coast Today.
Okay, that's what it was, South Coast Today, yes. Thank you.
Yes, so I did see that reporting regarding it, and, it's not very surprising.
I mean, if you've walked into Market Basket, you see there's a great amount of youth workers there.
Mm-hmm. And so I think, there's still so much unknown about the individuals that have been suspended and what's going on with their work authorization forms. But, and then even hearing about the fact that now we're, you know, the more information that comes out little by little about this, now that some are potentially unaccompanied minors that, and I believe in that reporting, they're not sure where they are now. They're not able to locate them. And I think a lot of that becomes fear for some of them, mainly because from what I'm learning about work authorizations for individuals that are unaccompanied minors, which that was a new process to me that I wasn't familiar, because in my mind I'm like, well, if they're unaccompanied, who are they staying with while they're working through their citizenship process? And so what I'm learning is in a number of situations, it's because they're either seeking asylum, because they've been abused, they've been a part of potential human trafficking situations. And so I think for a number of these individuals, if that rings true, is they're fleeing really terrible situations, and now the fear is I'm going to have to go back to that.
Yeah.
And so just like any other child, because these are people who are under 18 and don't know what's going to happen, and they're fearful because they're seeing the rhetoric from this administration, which is send them all back, even if it's they don't know where to send them back to, send them to wherever that's not here. And that's terrifying for them. So instead of trying to say, okay, I'm going to try to trust a system that's broken, I'm going to try to trust a system that obviously doesn't want to go through due process and wants to ignore the rule of law, and even if I am doing this the right way, they completely spit on that, why the hell would I trust that? And so I don't, you know, blame them for being afraid and trying to run. But then, of course, the downside to that is now people are going to turn around and say, see, they're criminals. This is why we shouldn't trust them, because they're fleeing. Why would they flee if they weren't doing anything wrong? And they don't look at the other side of it and say, they're terrified, they're scared, they're running because they're running from something terrible like human trafficking or abuse or other areas. And maybe that might not be everyone's story, but again, you don't know everyone's story. And again, you paint everyone with this broad brush of, oh, they're all coming here to steal our jobs, they're all coming here to kill and rape us. And that's what the image is of every immigrant that is trying to come to America now. And it's disgusting. And that's all I keep hearing. I continue to get nasty emails from people ever since I did an interview with Channel 12 News talking about this. And all I said in my interviews was talking about the fact that the individuals that they're targeting at Market Basket are not the individuals that we were told we were going to be protected from. The criminals, the cartels that are coming here trafficking drugs and weapons. Those are the individuals, just like past, again, as I said, it's not a Democrat or Republican issue. Democrats have, the data shows, have deported more people than Republican administrations, and they did it legally with due process, without just saying, hey, this guy has darker skin, oh, he looks brown enough, throw him in the van.
Mm.
So, like, this is what frustrates me, is Democrats are about the rule of law. Democrats do want safer borders. Democrats do want people to feel safe, and not just feel safe, they want them to be actually safe. And that's the biggest difference here that I want people to realize. we don't want people to feel safe. We want them to actually be safe. And I want that to resonate with individuals. You can have the illusion of feeling safe by saying, oh, we got a bunch of people from Market Basket, baggers and cashiers that are no threat to you at all. I feel so much better. Meanwhile, the guy who's selling ghost guns and drugs and all these other things is still on the street because the Trump administration has no intention of rounding them up because they have no resources, no actual forethought of grabbing them. But they just want to pad their numbers with 47 individuals who are doing it the right way because it's easier for them.
Has there been any talk amongst the counselors about maybe having Market Basket come before the council and explain some of the situation?
No.
Is that something that you feel would be in your purview or?
No. And to be honest, and this is, again, the challenge, I would say, for me, it's, you know, as a fierce advocate for immigration reform and wanting to help our community that has suffered under this administration, I am very clear about the fact that even as I said earlier in this program, what we lack in legislative authority, we make up in influence. And sure, I speak out on this program and on whenever I do interviews with the press. I'm very clear about my support for immigration reform, but I am not a congressman. I'm not a United States senator. This lies with the federal delegation. And so for us, sure, we could bring people in and have this discussion in a committee, but to me, it would just be fanfare. And to me, it potentially just kind of stokes the flame of people wanting to come in and assuming that we do have the authority to do something. And to me, that's even worse. It essentially is false hope is the word I would use. I think there's better ways to go about it, which again is continuing to advocate to the individuals who actually hold the power. So using, as I keep saying, using our influence the right way of contacting those individuals who can make a difference. But at the same time, too, right now, I could write letters and make phone calls to Congressman Keating and to Elizabeth Warren and Ed Markey. But at the same time, they could try to pass legislation, but they don't have the numbers. And as we know, it's a numbers game. If you don't have the people in power right now to pass those laws, it's not going to happen.
And even when they had the numbers, they didn't do it.
Well, the other part, too, is, you know, if you don't have a president who's going to sign it in, if you don't have enough people to, you know, override a veto or whatever, you know, because, again, you have to be able to work with individual. And then it goes through the House, and then they amend it, it goes to the Senate, then they change something back, then it has to go back to that. You know, government is ugly. It's not pretty. I know it looks well on TV sometimes, but and it can be entertaining when they try to dramatize it. But real, actual government behind the scenes, you know, I think the saying goes, no one wants to see how the sausage is made. But Right. Again, it's a disgusting, hard process, but it takes time. And that's unfortunate, obviously, because there's real families struggling and suffering out there.
All right. Why don't we take a break here because we have to. And when we come back, we'll go to these calls. I'm going to skip over the news and we'll take these calls. So hang on, callers. We'll get to you in just a few moments. We'll be back with Council President Burgo in just a couple of moments. If you're looking for a new spot to kick back and unwind at Ryan's Sports Pub, the good times never stop. They have live music inside or on the patio. They have karaoke night. They have 6 pool tables where you can challenge your friends. And of course, mouth-watering food and perfectly crafted cocktails. How about this for a deal? Monday through Thursday from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., you can get a half-price pizza on the patio. All you have to do is go inside and ask the bartender for details. But Monday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., half-price pizza on the patio at Ryan's Sports Pub, 500 Hathaway Road in New Bedford, inside the Whalers Inn and Suites. And the food is fantastic. The pizza is incredible. Try the chicken Mozambique one. And if you go between 11 and 4 on a Monday through Thursday, you're going to get it for half price. All right, let's get back into the discussion with New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo. We have some callers on hold, so we'll go to the phones. Good morning. You're on with the council president.
Hey, good morning. I wanted to, you know, I don't have any questions for Shane, really. But when he said that those initial 47 illegal immigrants were doing it the right way, quote unquote.
What makes them illegal?
I don't think. Huh?
What makes them illegal?
Yeah, we don't know that they were here undocumented because they had work authorizations.
And they haven't been deported. So that's the other part, too. Everyone keeps calling them illegal, but if they were illegal, they would have been deported if they weren't here legally.
I mean, that may prove to be the case with some of them, but we haven't heard that yet.
Correct.
Maybe that's the due process. Maybe they're, you know, and these kids that they found or that they discovered, it's hard to tell the age of someone just by looking at them. And it's very obvious right now that they all got through the process of being hired by using false identifications or, you know, fraudulent.
That's not obvious either. We don't know that's true yet either.
Well, yes, it is, because there's 167, 170 now they've come up with.
But that could have also been that could have been 170 people that didn't renew their paperwork. That got hired with paperwork that was with they got hired with paperwork that was valid, and then in the time since then that did not get renewed, did not get reauthorized, so then it becomes invalid and they can't work anymore.
Or maybe, like I've said before, they were given false documentation just so they could get in the door at the job, and they thought that was going to be the end of it. So, you know, it's that whole black market with the Social Security cards and all that. You can't keep making excuses for things like bending.
Not making excuses, just pointing out what we know and what we don't know. You're just making assumptions that haven't been proven yet.
You're doing the same thing, and Shane is doing the same thing. So we're making assumptions.
No, but we're looking at them logically, whereas you're looking at them through the opinion of your bias, the bias of your opinion.
Interesting. Okay, well, you know what?
Yeah, because you just think everybody that's here that's an immigrant is illegal, and you want to see them all tossed out.
No, that's not it at all.
We've got years of phone calls to go back and listen to. You don't follow the facts that are presented. You don't actually listen to the facts that are presented. You just make your assumptions and then craft an argument around that. And then when we try to point out the facts, you turn around and say, okay, you're just putting spin on it, but we're not. We're just telling you what's known. Now, you might turn out to be right. With the information you're providing might turn out to be absolutely correct. But I'm just saying we don't know that at this point in time.
That might be an uncomfortable truth when the truth all comes out.
If that's the truth, it won't be uncomfortable for me. It'll be the truth. I'm just saying I'm not gonna malign Market Basket and start bashing a company for doing something that we have no proof that they actually did yet.
Right, and you know what? In Market Basket's defense, I think that because the initial reporting with those 47 people, that was Market Basket acting on their suspicions.
That was Market Basket being forced to do that by the government.
They were following the process of the audit.
There was an audit that was an I-9 audit.
But you get what I mean. The feds weren't the ones, you know, ICE didn't storm Market Basket and start hauling people out.
Market
Basket did that.
I'd point out, too, that I would think that if Market Basket is at fault for this, I think we would have heard something about that for now in terms of like sanctions against them or some kind of fine against them. Mm-hmm. And we haven't heard anything about that yet. So that, I mean, again, you might turn out to be right. I'm just saying based on what we know right now, we can't say that.
Well, I think, again, to your point, Tim, is everyone else seems to be so certain. And again, I want to make clear, I'm not making any certainties here. I'm just clarifying the fact that there's other individuals, obviously, as we talked about from the article earlier, the unaccompanied minors that might be fleeing is because of the fear of the unknown for them, especially if they aren't sure about the new process of applying for work authorizations or what have you. But I want to be very clear here that they at one point did have work authorizations and might not have gone through the process of renewal. But I want to be clear here that there is no illegal work afoot here in the process of when they... Oh, they dropped off the call.
I think I accidentally put him on hold somehow when I put the next call on hold. So I think he might have thought he was.
But
stuck
anyway,
on hold.
The point is, I think that's the part that's been most frustrating for me is the rhetoric around, these illegals and we need to get the hell out of here and we got to haul them out. And that's the part that's frustrating is, again, as far as I know, and until it's proven differently, I'm looking at it as a framework of these individuals appear to me to be attempting to do this the right way. And now have hit a snag of sorts of saying, okay, well, we need your renewal of work authorizations, or we need you to do whatever the case may be, and or they might not have known to do a renewal or what have you, some kind of paperwork. And so now they're going, hopefully going through the process of getting that situated, and hopefully will be reinstated. If not, then it will go from there.
And even if they weren't doing it the right way, and even if Market Basket wasn't doing it the right way, these people were still earning a paycheck and paying taxes.
They weren't
drug dealers. I don't know too many drug dealers that then go also work an 8-hour shift bagging groceries or stocking shelves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that there's a lot of information that's not being provided yet, but I'm just kind of looking at the situation and saying, well, I haven't seen this happen, so I have to assume that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, and apologies to the caller there. I put you on hold accidentally, I think, when I put another call on hold. And then when I put you back, I don't know if you knew you were on. All right, let's go to the next call here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning. So I don't think all people feel that way. They just want to toss people out of the country. I think people feel betrayed by their government. They feel betrayed by their local politicians. They feel betrayed by a lot of these nonprofits that are using taxpayer dollars and, you know, people's good kindness in the money they invest in them to aid and abet individuals to come to this country illegally and maintain status. And, you know, I'm starting to believe that maybe there's an organized system here in the city, because you don't get that many people to be hired when apparently, I know you're saying we don't know 100% what's going on, but you know, the writing's on the wall. And you know, not too long ago there was a business on the avenue that was you know, busted for making false paperwork. You know, you got the CDC that's helping illegals get housing and lawyers, and you know, I don't know if they helped them get, you know, work or be placed, but those are questions that need to be answered. Who are the people that are aiding and helping and planning and continuing this system of breaking the law in this country? We're being betrayed within, and they're using our money to do it. What do you guys think about that?
Well, what I think is that just nonsense what you're saying. I also
nonsense,
just,
right?
Yes, it is nonsense. It's just again the rhetoric that you're using. This is why,
you know,
people
cared about
you asked the question, let him answer.
I believe this is Carlos, and so this is why individuals like you are ambulance chasers and not serious candidates that are running for office, because people who are actually in office,
let's not bring up candidacy,
that's
here,
fine, that's, yeah, but this is what he uses this for. And so I just want to highlight the fact that individuals who are actually in office, we don't just say things like this and make up talking about using taxpayer dollars to aid and abet breaking. No one's breaking the law. And so that's the thing that frustrates me, is just saying whatever
Ward
comes
two. How many illegal aliens are living within our confines, within our city, saying things that just come to your head
and that you want to be able to.
Let's talk for a second. Carlos,
please.
In your defense, I'll say his opinions are not different whether he's running or not. He's consistent with his opinions. But
that's fine.
It's
nothing personal here. It's just he's an elected official, and he's pushing an agenda, and people are fed up with being fed baloney.
We're
tired of it.
Let me ask you something, Carlos. Let me ask you something based on your theory that you're positing. If that's the case, if there was a network of people that are trying to do this, why would you know, this isn't the Bianco company here. This is Market Basket. This is a publicly traded company. Why would they go along with that?
I don't think they're necessarily going along with it. They're just a company that needs people, and they're being fed these people.
But you don't think they would do their due diligence to make sure that those people are legally authorized to work?
Well, I don't know if they are culpable or not. I don't. Are they part of it? I don't know. Or are they just hiring people that are available with fake paperwork? You know what I mean?
I would just, maybe I'm just being a little bit too naive about it.
They can't turn somebody away because they're brown. They can't turn them away because they're Mexican.
But you can easily turn them away if for some reason that paperwork is suspicious in some way. So I just.
Oh, I would hope so. But obviously that didn't happen.
I mean, maybe the paperwork's too good.
Is the paperwork too good? That's what I want to see. The paperwork might be so good, and they're using the law. They're going within the borders of the law, and they're getting away with it. But obviously, with Trump in office, those little tricks of the trade aren't working now. You know what I mean? And now they're being serious, and they're taking these things serious. And, you know, you come here, hey, listen, I'm first generation. My mother came at 18 years old. She was working in a factory, Cornell Dublé, the very next day. Never got a handout. Never missed one payment mortgage, never missed a payment in taxes. So I know all about immigration. We went through hard times, and we survived, okay, because we worked hard. We didn't come here and get everything for free. You know what I mean? You have to work hard in this country. You have to learn the language.
And that's what these individuals
are doing. Because we're not making them do it.
And I just find it funny that, you know, then when you finally actually start asking questions and want data and resources to back up the statements he makes, it's, I don't know, I'm just making assumptions, because he doesn't actually know anything. And so I just want to make that clear for the listeners here, is that this is not an actual journalist that's on the line here. This is just somebody who points a camera and makes a lot of noise. So I just want to make that clear.
And so I'll let you respond to that, Carlos, and then I got to move on.
My last word, if I can.
Yes.
Can I see my last word?
Yes, yes.
You don't have to shout. Everyone's listening.
I'm not going to shout, sir.
You can relax. It's okay.
I'm relaxed. Quite relaxed. Thank you. I appreciate that. So my last word would be, Shane Burgle wants to see American citizens in tents and illegal aliens in hotels. Have a good day.
Okay.
So again, false information there. But again, what we've noted from individuals like that is that when they can't raise their points or their arguments, they raise their voice. So just make that note. When you see individuals or hear individuals like that, when their voice gets loud, it's because their arguments and points are failing them.
All right. We've got a bunch of callers lined up. I got one open line, 508-996-0500. We're going to try to get to everybody. But right now, we've got to take a break. We'll be back in a few moments. All right, before we get back into the calls, we do have a couple of things that the council president wants to make everybody aware of.
Yeah, so particularly in Ward 1, if you're familiar with the Parallel Products or South Coast Renewables, I believe is their new name, it's now going to be going before our local Board of Health. So there's a couple of public hearings coming up, particularly this week on Tuesday, August 5th, and Wednesday, August 6th. Where is the location here? I thought I had the location here. I will look up that location for you in a moment.
You can tell them about the next one and I'll
find it. All right. So, and then the next one is in regards to the former New York China Buffet site. There's going to be a discussion at Campbell School on August 6th at 7 p.m. Again, that's August 6th at 7 p.m. at Campbell School. I believe our Ward 1 Counselor Leo Triquette will be there. As well as maybe myself and some others. There's going to be discussion around the potential development of a 24-apartment building with 32 parking spaces and what that will potentially look like. So, again, that's on August 6th at 7 p.m. at Campbell School. So we're hoping that residents will get out there to learn more about what that will look like.
All right, and what I'll do is I'll go to the next call here, and then I'm going to have to take a break, and then we can finish off with the other caller. You are on with the council president. Hello. Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, or maybe not.
I don't hear you. Once, twice. You were holding on for a while. All right, call back. I'll try to get you through. Good morning. You're next with the council president.
Good morning. I just want to make a comment that there's a reason why this Stimulus got in trouble with the board, and I believe it was with a disagreement with how he was handling this situation with the Guatemalans.
I don't think it had anything to do with that, no.
I do, and...
But that's not what any of the reporting has been.
It isn't?
No, it was. He was trying to get so what I'm looking for, a walkout going from the employees because they wanted to remove him from power because he wants to, it's all in whose kids get to take over in the future. So it's a power struggle at the top. And he was trying to organize a walkout of the employees and a strike so that they would keep him in power.
Well, how about all these Guatemalans that got killed in machinery down on the waterfront and stuff? There's quite a few, if you look it up, how many died going through the machines down there, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't really have any of that info in front of me.
I think they were illegals. They didn't even have papers.
I can't comment one way or the other. That.
Well, it's not a good idea. It's a bad situation for us. Thank you.
All right. You have a good day. I got to get one more call in here, one more break in here.
Yes. So really quickly, I did find it's at the Board of Health public hearings, again, are August 5th, 6th, 7th, and then another one on the 26th later on in the month. And they're all at 6:30 p.m. at the Pulaski Elementary School at 1097 Braley Road.
And you found it, and then I happened to find it at the same time. And we also were getting Ward 1 Councilor Leo Chiquette messaging in, so thanks.
Perfect.
But we got the information there. All right, let me take this break here, and then we can finish off with the calls. We'll be right back. Final few moments with the council president. We'll take one more call. Just need you to get to your point quick, because we only got a couple of minutes left.
Tim, good morning.
Morning.
Billy Sackyover. You know, I just want to know, I'm one of those ignorant people that the mayor talked about that don't understand. Is there any other supermarket that's having a problem with the people that work there than Market Basket?
Not that we've been publicly made aware of, but it doesn't mean that they're not dealing with it internally.
Okay. My next thing is, you know, Mr. Berger made a statement when Carlos was talking about people that can't get their points across, right, that they yell the loudest. Didn't he make that statement on your program just now?
Yes. I got about 1 minute, Gilly. Get to your question.
Okay. Let me finish. Yeah. You sure he wasn't trying to talk about Brian Gomes? Because he raises his voice a lot when he can't get his points across. So who is he talking about?
I'm right here, Gilly. If you have a question, you can direct it.
I'm not talking to you.
Yeah, well, I'm on the radio station right here. Don't call on my segment if you don't have a question for me, okay?
It's your segment now.
It is.
It is my segment. It's Tim's program, but my segment.
He's trying
to dictate the whole city. That's fine. I'm only asking a question.
Now I'm the tyrant,
I
guess.
He made a statement. And I listened to the statement.
I did make the statement, and you can ask me.
I got 30 seconds for you guys to work this out.
Well, tell him to be quiet so I can finish.
No, I don't think I'm going to be quiet, Gilly. I don't take orders from you. But what I will do, I'll answer your question because what I will say to you.
I didn't ask you a question.
Okay.
All right.
Let him.
So then we can end the call here, Gilly. So you have a blessed Monday. Enjoy the beautiful city of Fall River.
Are you going to let him run your program?
I'll decide how the program is run, yes.
Okay, may I finish for 4 minutes?
I got 10 seconds.
Okay, 10 seconds. Who is he trying? Brian does the same thing. When he doesn't get his point in the clutch, he yells everything like he accused Carlos doing. So he doesn't know everything.